Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From theblogulator.com.
This is Blogulator Radio.
Skewering and fawning over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. I'm Bridget.
I'm Qualler.
Our opinions are valid. Coming to you a little late this week.
We're sorry.
We love you. We're very sorry.
We are very sorry, and we love you.
Mr. Show.
Mm-hmm.
But seriously. That was
dead air. Dead air.
Speaking of dead air.
You know what's come back from the dead, metaphorically speaking.
And what usually has at least one dead
usually talks
body
about
per episode.
Dead stuff. Like my soul.
It's Dexter.
That's for Chris. Because he hates the voiceover. Dexter, yeah.
We wanted to do a bit for this, because we know everyone really likes our bits.
Why don't you be Dexter, and I'll be Deb, and we're going to reenact what's been happening in the first couple episodes of the new season.
Okay, but let's be, like, if Dexter and Deb had to record a podcast.
Okay.
About TV.
Okay.
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 Well, I guess we're recording this podcast about TV.
God, Dexter, why don't you fucking tell the fucking truth, Dexter? Jesus Christ, I just... What the fuck is your serial killer, Dexter?
Look, I'm not a serial killer. I found those blood slides.
Jesus Christ, Dexter, are you gonna fucking lie to me about the podcast and the blood slides, too?
Look, I've never recorded a podcast before. Wait a minute. Oh my god. Oh my god, I snapped. That's it. I snapped and I just started recording.
Jesus.
I've never done it. I didn't know. You may wonder why I'm so good at it if I've never done it before and why I like have all this equipment.
Right.
With this computer. This computer, oh, I just found it here.
Where did you get this built-in microphone?
I just also happened to find it here, and I just snapped. Okay.
Well, so does that explain the...
That's our bit, and that's all.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You're welcome. That's all. We'll
see you next week.
Leave on a high note.
No, so let's get down to brass tacks.
So,
Can
I make one?
Can I finish?
That's for the political season for all of you political junkies out there who are Ross Perot fans of circa 1992. I know I was.
Dana Carvey is Ross Perot.
Yeah.
Can I finish?
You're not listening. Can I finish? Can I speak? You're not listening. Yeah, I made a lot of friends in elementary school doing my Dana Carvey as George Bush impression as a kid.
Real friends? Or
no.
Like the way Dexter
nope.
has friends?
Yeah, Dexter's friends. So, there are two... I tweeted this thought the other day, and there's two things that a few weeks ago I wouldn't have expected.
Okay.
One of them is that the Minnesota Vikings are 4-1. Woo! Mm-hmm. Go Vikings! Or should I say school Vikings?
Probably.
And number two is that I would voluntarily watch Dexter live as it airs and be like, this is a good show.
Not just voluntarily. This one, I'm gesturing towards Qualler, this one over here has been bothering me to watch Dexter when it's on. In fact, he's the one who's insisted that we watch it.
The tables have turned.
We saw the first two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And, even one night when we were supposed to watch a scary movie, he was all, no, let's watch Dexter.
Yeah, because I was ready, as they were advertising Dexter amongst Homeland, I scoffed to myself many times watching the promos.
Like you do.
Being like, ugh, I can't believe that they would even venture to pretend that Dexter is even in the same league as Homeland.
I know, because that's how he talks when we watch TV.
That's my, hoity-toity voice. But I was very pleased to find out that this new season of Dexter has been greatly improved. And the reason for that, obviously, is, well, one, spoilers, obviously, forward, ahead. This is the first time since, like, season two there's been an actual danger to Dexter, the character.
Yeah, this is for the first time, I think, I would agree that we feel like there's something... Well, I would say the first time since Rita. I stuck with Dexter through Rita's death.
You did, and I
liked it the whole way through.
And, you know,
I saw that Jimmy Smith stuff. We didn't need to...
Yeah. There were bits and pieces of the third and fourth seasons that I liked. I really liked the end of the fourth season a lot. I thought that was just an unbelievable twist, obviously, with Rita's death and everything. But, even in the third and fourth seasons, there wasn't anything that was that challenged the stasis of Dexter's day-to-day life.
See, but I would just say, so I think what you're saying and what you're about to say before I rudely interrupted you is that this is the first season where it feels, since season two, where it feels like there's actually something at stake for Dexter.
Yes.
I would agree with that, except for I do feel like by the halfway through to the end of season four, there was something at stake for Dexter once again in that season. Not in the sense of Dexter may get caught or were worried for Dexter, like, being discovered, but that the thing that was, like, that he had, a family that he's starting to care about. I feel like Rita was, like, a state, like, a, I that think, was a thing for Dexter.
I think in...
And the kids, too, and...
On paper, yes, but having the knowledge that this is a show that has previously shown us special guest stars that come in, and in the end, Dexter wins. I didn't. On paper, yes, Dexter was in a great deal of danger.
I'm not talking directly Dexter's danger, but there were stakes for Dexter in that he had a family that he cared about that he actually lost.
Right, but I mean, to me, there was no question that things would end up going in Dexter's favor, which is why...
But they didn't go in Dexter's favor. Okay.
Which is why when, at the very end, Rita was killed, that was a big surprise to me.
Okay.
But
that doesn't retroactively make the whole season good for you.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly. The very ending twist was very well delivered. John Lithgow's performance in the fourth season was very... good.
Uh-huh.
And then there was that, like, reporter stuff that was really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was, like, a mixed bag of, like, some good stuff. And this was, like, the fourth season, not to keep going back to the fourth season because I want to talk about what's going on now, too.
Sure.
But, but I feel like that was the first time when it was, like, okay, Dexter stuff that he's doing, and to a certain extent, Deb...
Mm-hmm.
is interesting because Michael C. Hall and Jennifer Carpenter give good performances. All of the side characters I really don't care about. By the time we got to the fifth season, I feel like I actually wanted to just, like, fast forward through Angel and La Guerta and Quinn anytime they were on screen. Just fast forward through it because it's totally, totally time filler material. Long story short, now that Deb knows how that Dexter is a serial killer, which was delivered in a scene I've watched now twice, maybe three times, the very end of the season premiere where Dexter walks in, I want to say Jennifer, but Deb finds all of his knives, and she just asks him,
are you
a serial killer?
That was an amazing scene.
And he just says,
and
yes.
And there's a hand.
And there's... Although that was, like, that Lewis guy.
I know, but it's still... It made the scene even punchier.
It did.
Because it's not just, like... Because you can't explain away a hand.
Right.
Which, like, actually, like, is interesting because I feel like here's, like, a bunch of, like... stuff that's not going, like, Dexter has a lot of stuff working against him. One, like, Deb's suspicion led for her to, like, search through all his things, and under normal circumstances, she would have found his blood slides, and she would have found all his knives, and that would have been hard to explain away.
Right.
The other stroke of bad luck is that Dexter's made an enemy in this guy, who, since we didn't watch last season, he's a little fuzzy for me, but...
Yeah.
But I heard his babysitter's Lewis. Boyfriend?
Is that what he is? Internet, help us.
I think so, and I don't know if he's maybe also works for... I don't know.
He makes
video... But, him and
he's
the,
like he the only like thing a, about the new season.
He seems
I don't
like
really
a dangerous
like.
Enemy. I think he's part of the department somehow because he got the hand.
Yeah.
Which also, like, is that believable? Hey, anyone who works in homicide.
Is it really a hand,
like,
though?
Like, is that really a thing that someone could get, even by, like, illicit means? Like,
right.
Like, would Masuko really just be like, oh, yeah, he need give him a hand so he could sell it on the internet?
Maybe.
Like, I don't know. I think that's pretty bad.
Seems pretty bad.
Like, that. Seems pretty.
Seems like a mistake.
It seems like a mistake, yeah. But also, I wonder, like, and I guess this is what Dexter was left wondering too, is like, why steal a hand and give it to Dexter? Like, he said it was like because he was mad at him because, and he canceled all his credit cards because
of some video
Dexter,
game.
Like, dismissed his video game. But like, is it? Does he know that Dexter's a serial killer? Like, so he's
See, that's so that you just hit upon. The reason why that plot line doesn't really make any sense, why it's going on in this new season. Mm. It's because, like,
we already
okay,
have someone who knows.
We already, yeah, like a main character who knows. Like, what is Lewis gonna do? Is he also gonna be like, I know your secret?
Okay,
okay, but
yeah.
Let me theorize.
But can I
finish? if he does know, and now one of the plot points of the new season is that. Introduced in the second episode, that Deb is kind of embarking upon a 12-step program for Dexter to try to heal him, which is really very... I really like that.
It's kind of what he fake did in season 2.
Right, yeah, where he... That's right. Where
right.
He went to drug addiction.
That's where he got all the lingo, like the...
That's right.
For his dark passenger and everything.
Yeah.
I actually kind of liked that. As a plot.
Yeah. One thing I think Cory Barker actually was writing about this, that it, you could have almost skipped seasons 3, 4, 5, and 6. You could have, all you would have had to know is that, like, Rita got killed.
And he had a baby.
And he had a baby. Because, like, it picks right up from season 2 in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Where it picks up on the dokes.
We're
loose
going back
ends.
To a lot of season 1 stuff, too, with loose ends from the ice truck killer,
right.
Like, our memories from that, which
right.
I really
where,
like.
Which is good, because, like, the first two seasons were the two seasons I felt like were the most vital in terms of the overarching story that they were trying to tell.
Yeah. That's sad, though, because now in that light it seems like Rita and the kids... were just, like, means to an end, which is to produce young Harrison.
Yeah.
So that there's, like, a child, so that, again, like, this seems like the whole point of Dexter having a child is the stakes are higher for Dexter, and there are other people involved in Dexter's life.
Right.
So it's harder for him to kill.
Right.
But, like...
But also
I
he
hate,
wants
I...
to. But also it that does play upon the themes that I'm also interested in the new season of, like, what... your parents did to F you up as a kid, and what will you do to try to break that cycle?
Hmm.
Which is something that, like, the last few seasons, they've really been using Harry as, like, a sounding board for Dexter to show, like, his inner monologue.
Mm-hmm.
But the original idea of Harry, the original conceit of Harry in the first two seasons is that he kind of to give Dexter's backstory and to introduce the code that he
right
that he brought into play, and I think now it's hitting upon the things that were interesting in seasons 3 through 6 that were interesting but the writers didn't fully delve into, which is okay, you have your father figure who gave you all of this wisdom, and it turns out your father figure, like, was not who, A, was not who we thought he was,
mm-hmm.
and B, like, the advice he gave you was actually really damaging
mm-hmm.
to your upbringing and your development as it going into, from a child to an adult.
Yeah, it's even interesting when you talk about, like, oh, let's look at a theme of what your parents did to F you up, and, what you might do differently to break that cycle, because in seasons 1 and 2, the parents who effed Dexter up inadvertently was his mom, in that he was effed up. Sorry, folks. Apparently we can't curse children.
Fuck.
But, no, I don't.
Sorry.
So, what happened to create Dexter the serial killer was that he witnessed his mother's gruesome murder.
Oh, I totally
forgot
about that.
You forgot about that? That's why Dexter's a serial killer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And we thought, oh, so he was screwed up from that, and Harry tried to, like, salvage something about Dexter, right? To try to do what he could to make him better. Now it seems that Harry is the one who screwed him up. So, and maybe Dexter would never have been a serial killer. I mean, it's starting to get fuzzier in terms of what's in his nature.
Right.
And what's the fault of the witnessing his mother's death versus what's the fault of how Harry kind of nurtured the killer.
Right.
That he saw in Dexter.
Right.
And so when you talk about skipping from seasons 2 to this season, that's the, like, one of the areas that I feel like that would be difficult that the other seasons did was slowly transition Harry
mm-hmm.
as a hero
mm-hmm.
to kind of a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would say that now, like, I think pretty poorly of Harry.
Mm-hmm.
There, I said it. you know, and I don't remember when they first started exploring that. I don't think it was until season 3.
Yeah. See, I don't think they really... I think they could have started to explore that this season, though, and it would have been the same effect.
No, but they did a lot of work that maybe you're not remembering in past seasons to actually kind of flesh that out and to think about, like, to reframe Harry as, like, not the person you have to go back and listen to for the code, that, like, Harry is no longer the person that Dexter inside of himself kind of... Harry is no longer Dexter's conscience.
Except
Harry has become, like, the bad angel on Dexter's shoulder. That's what it seems like to me, and I think that that needed to be a slower transition than just, like, than just, like, showing a couple of scenes.
Do you think Dexter recognizes him as the bad angel on his shoulder right now, though?
I don't know about right now, but I know that there have been moments in the past seasons where he's kind of, like, explicitly struggled with that.
Mm, yeah.
Where, like, he's actually kind of been like, oh, maybe I didn't have to turn out like this, and maybe Harry used me to do the things that he always wanted to do
yeah.
but couldn't. I
yeah.
mean, like, and then also, from Deborah's side, there's Harry, who's kind of this perfect father that they idolize, and now I don't remember what season this happens in either. Maybe this happens right away? I don't think season 1, but I'm sorry, it's all... But at some point, Deborah, I remember her little side plot was that she was digging into Harry's past.
Mm-hmm.
And we were afraid that she was going to... I think the tension there was that she was going to, through that route, find out about Dexter.
Yeah.
Because she was looking through witnesses that her dad had interviewed. And, of course, we know that Dexter's mom was a witness. So what we originally thought about Dexter's backstory was that his dad was on a call and found this little kid.
Right.
Right. And that's that. We learn bit by bit that Dexter's dad, that Harry was involved with Dexter's mom to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
That it wasn't like a coincidence that he, you know.
Right.
I think it was tiptoed around or hinted at that Harry actually was Dexter's dad.
Mm.
Right? That he might have, or that he at least might have been sleeping with Dexter's mom.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was ever that... I thought that's where that was going. I don't think it ever actually went there. But that he might have been sleeping with her. I mean, so Deborah, in her own way, was kind of figuring out, too, like, oh, this guy cheated on my mom with lots of different women. I mean, so like, it's interesting to think about Harry as a character in the show.
Because
he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's more of a... More than... I don't know. I like, right now, as I'm talking about this, I want to liken him to Nathaniel Sr. in
right,
6 Feet
right.
Under.
Yeah.
But I feel like Nathaniel Sr. is more... serves more of the inner monologue role
mm-hmm.
in 6 Feet Under, maybe, than Harry does in Dexter. Because I think while Harry does that, I also think that, like, there's Deb's relationship to Harry... And, I mean, I think they also yeah. have actual flashbacks. Like, they actually are, like, constructing him as a real character, not just
right.
to how Dexter imagines him or well, how yeah. Deb imagines him.
Yeah, the purpose, I think it's a good point of Nathaniel, is that he is essentially, you're not learning anything more about him, necessarily.
Right.
You're learning what other people's remembrances are of him.
Or even just what
and
other
you're remembering
people.
What other people are, right, what other people are thinking. But you're
yeah.
not, you're not kind of, like, learning about, like, oh, actually, Nathaniel Fisher wasn't the man we thought he was.
Well, the only episode where I feel like we maybe do learn that a little bit is The Room.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what it was called?
Well, we learn about it, but we also, you know, kind of...
have to imagine. But we learn a little, we find out some little tidbits that...
Yeah, but I think the themes of that episode are a lot different than I think what is going on with
right. It's not like a
Harry.
A suspense story where
right.
Nate is trying to dig into his father's past in order to connect certain things
right.
that
it's more
have
like
some bearing on his present.
Yeah, yeah. I think I see what you're saying about all of the things that we are exploring with
mm-hmm.
Harry and have in the past. I just don't think that is what makes the show itself tick. I think what makes the show...
I think it's part of...
Well, it's not an element of the show that I'm as interested in. I feel like it's not an element of the show that is all that interesting, really.
Okay, so for me, it's an element of the show that I'm interested in, not because I'm interested in Harry for Harry's sake,
yeah.
but because I'm interested in how recognizing different parts of Harry and thinking about imagining Harry in different ways shape Deb and Dexter
yeah,
that, pretty and significantly.
That, and that I'm definitely
yeah.
interested in.
So, I don't know. I guess I'm still just trying to... I would argue that there is a use for seasons... You know what? I'm going to backtrack a little, and I'm going to say there's use for seasons 1, 2, and 4.
Yeah.
So I'm actually just
yeah.
adding season 4 to...
Yeah.
And maybe certain things from season 3 that we could throw in there.
And I think, even to be fair, I think the beginning of season 5, the season premiere of season 5 was really strong.
Uh-huh.
It was the post Rita
yeah.
episode that I felt like that was really... You know,
I was actually the most disappointed in that season.
Yeah, as a whole, that season kind of just...
Was that the Julia Stiles season?
Yeah, and Johnny Lee Miller, and it was like, I don't think they really knew what was going on.
Too much stuff happening
it's the kind of
in that season, I think.
It's the kind of show where you really could kind of make, like, a greatest hits
yeah.
album. If you will, and still get basically, if you just want like the best, very best standalone episodes combined with the overarching arc of the series, it's the kind of show that you can do that too.
Yeah.
I think you take all of the first and second seasons, I can't think of a single memorable season 3 episode. I feel like season 3 was just like a big old disappointment pile.
I thought it was interesting. I thought there was some stuff with Jimmy Smith that was interesting, but I feel like you could combine all the interesting moments and put it into one episode. I don't think there was one standout episode.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like,
I think just
collectively there might have been
right.
an episode.
Do like... Yeah, make, like, one episode where it's, like, blah, 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 Jimmy Smits is here,
I guess,
blah, 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 Dexter, and what's-her-face,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't matter, she's dead now.
They get married. I actually like most of season 4, the more I think about that one, because John Lithgow was so great. So, like, I like the shtick of Dexter that they're, like, That on the one hand, you have Dexter the serial killer, and he's got his own Dexter problems, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, you have... There are lots of different little killings that happen, but then I like the idea of the one killer that they're really trying to catch. And I think, even over the Ice Truck Killer, the Trinity Killer has been my favorite of the serial bad guys.
Yeah, he's so definitely...
Like, that was just such a fun. It was a romp. It was kind of like that movie What to Expect When You're Expecting.
I was gonna say it's a little more like Love Actually.
Yeah.
Combined with Valentine's Day, combined with New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
I think the more I think about it, the more I like that season. But I bet if I were to start season two over from the beginning, I would be blown away by how much better that is. Or how much better that was then. You know what I mean? Because I remember being on the edge of my seat every episode of season two.
Yeah.
And just, like, having to keep watching it, and also, like, it just being super creepy and super, like, suspenseful, and, like, what's, like, actually, like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, although I'm arguing for... I still stuck with it in season three. I still liked it enough to watch it every week. Season four, I think, is still a pretty good, pretty solid season. But I think you're right that it's been a long time since I felt that edge of my seat kind of, you know, man, this is a really good show. This really draws you in. And you know what? I haven't felt that yet this season.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you were kind of, so obviously we're
different.
We're back on the track. We're back on watching Dexter.
Yeah.
I would say that we both liked it equally at the beginning.
Of the
series. Yeah, like, season one, we were both, I think, as on board.
Yeah.
We defended it to critics, Chris.
Right.
But, yeah, to a lot of... Like, we were both like, oh, man, no, you gotta watch it.
Come on, man.
What's your damage? You gotta get...
You gotta watch Dexter.
You gotta love Dexter. What's wrong with you?
I think we spent our Best Buy gift card given to us by... our friend Chaney and
for our wedding
co-blogger Dr. Peace. I think we used the Best Buy gift card on season one of Dexter.
I think you're right. Wow.
Wow. That's real love.
That is real love. Wait, what? So we both liked it a lot. I think we both like season two equally.
Mm-hmm.
Season three, I think.
Season three, we actually were like, we're gonna subscribe to Showtime so we can watch it.
Oh yeah, because that was the first time we could watch it not on DVD.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I remember thinking, like, this is going to be so good. And then, like, as the season went on, it was like, when is the stuff about how Harry's code isn't so good after all that was explored in season two? When are they going to explore that? And then they never did.
Yeah.
And then it was like this. I remember, like, even, like, the very... The very last moment of season three, where, like, a little bit of blood drips on Rita's wedding dress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the very last shot of the season. And me thinking, like, oh, that's gonna be the evidence that finally breaks Dexter out into the public. And, like, in retrospect, it's like, no, that's just, like, dumb symbolism.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that was how invested I was in the first two seasons of, like, okay, we've explored Dexter, we've explored his relationship with his sister, we've explored his relationship with his wife now, we've talked about his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Now when is his secret gonna come out? And, like, that's, to me, that's, now talking through it, I think that's the main reason I went from really excited by the show to gradually more and more disillusioned, to the point where I was scoffing just a few weeks ago at the mere thought that anything could even approach the greatness of Homeland, the greatest show on television of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of like what I'm doing right now is kind of what Dexter should be doing in this new season, is like talking through his feelings and like thinking about it and working on it. And that's like...
So what I was saying... We were back on board. We started off strong.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
That was a long aside.
We started off strong season one, liked it season two, really wanted to like it season three, even though we didn't.
And in
season
retrospect,
four, I was kind of like, oh, yeah, you can get back into it.
Yeah,
it's okay.
And you know, if we're not going to explore Dexter, at least we can have a really good performance by John Lithgow.
Were you still on board in season four? I mean, I think we both liked it.
I was, but I was significantly more snarky.
Yeah.
Especially in the last half of season, the last six episodes.
I think you got more snarky and I was still like, no, it's a good show.
Yeah, you were getting mad at me every time I was like, oh, Angel and LaGuardia, kill me now.
Because I don't get that. I think they're fine. But, like, season five, we tried and we never made it through season five. And then there was a season six that happened, right?
Yeah.
Oh, time. Where does it go?
All I know is it's about religion.
And Colin Hanks
and Edward James Olmos's the twist that he wasn't really real.
Mm. So,
that everyone, anyway. Somebody called, like, within a couple of episodes, somebody prominent on the internet called it, and then that was the twist.
Oh.
So.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
So season four, you getting kind of snarky, I still liked it. Season five, we only
And we only really watched it fairly recently.
Yeah, and only a couple episodes, and then we're like, well, no, we stuck with it.
Yeah.
Although
I don't think we ever finished it.
But now I really feel like the tables have turned and you've been really into this new season. And it's really hard for me to go back into watching it the way I watched, like, seasons two, three, even the first part of season four. Because my impulse now when I'm watching Dexter is to be like, bleh.
Right.
The way all the critics were.
Right.
The people that I was like, you guys, you're wrong. You don't know. That's how I feel.
And now, in the premiere episode, mostly in the premiere, I had to keep, like, telling Bridget to stop being such a cynic.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really weird, because it's usually me who's the jerk, and Bridget who's, like, the...
Why are you being so mean? So what's changed for you, then?
Well,
because while I recognize that there are cool things happening this season, and that it's markedly better than the last several seasons, right away, even going into this premiere, your attitude was changed. I feel like you went into this premiere as a child.
And not
as a cynic.
Specifically only because I had read advance reviews that from critics whose opinions I respect that the show has come back to form. But before I had read any of that, I don't think there is any way I would have been convinced until maybe the end of the premiere, I think the main thing is they actually have finally followed through on what, like, drove me to get really excited to watch season three,
mm-hmm.
and feel, you know, the Lucy pulling the football back metaphor. To just feel that kind of sense of betrayal, in a sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like if you feel like the obvious next step in a show is that Dexter's identity is revealed, and they keep almost doing it and not doing it, it eventually just wears you down until the point where it's just frustrating. So now that there's actually... his sister actually knows... To me, that changes everything.
So that one...
And I mean, it's...
That thing is enough to make you totally shift the way you're watching.
Yes, because it's a show where everything... It's not an ensemble show, in my opinion. I mean, yes, there's an ensemble, but it's not a show that relies on an ensemble. The way that, like, Breaking Bad really does have a strong ensemble. Six Feet Under had a strong ensemble cast.
Mm-hmm.
Dexter is really, really, really reliant on what's happening with Dexter for me to be interested.
Yeah.
And so I'm just very pleased that it's come back. And I think even just, like, it just doesn't feel as schlocky as I feel like it did in, like... in season 4 and season 5 that it did. I mean, there are still elements. I'm not going to say that it's a perfect show by any means. You know, it still kind of has the things that aren't as good about it going on, like the Lewis stuff that we talked about is just feels kind of clunky. I think in the second episode, where, you know, Dexter talking to this killer who, in a way, that was kind of a standalone episode, but a little bit different because Dexter wasn't killing somebody. He was, like, learning about another kind of killer, and mm-hmm. it was, that kind of did tell its own story in the way that season one, and I'm thinking specifically season one, where it was almost like a killer of the week. Who's Dexter gonna kill, and also what is he? How is he going to learn a little bit about himself?
But also, the ice truck killer happened in season one.
Yeah, but I mean that was kind of the overarching mm-hmm. arc of the season. But even within that season, there were kind of standalone things happening in each episode.
Yeah, that's true.
It really comes down to. It's a show that if things are happening with the central character, I'm interested, and if they're spinning their wheels, I'm not interested. I mean, it really is that simple.
Okay, that's fair. Has it lived up to your expectations thus far with the first two episodes? Because we haven't even really talked about the first two episodes at all. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it's, I really enjoyed the first episode. I really, really enjoyed everything with Dexter and Deb. I think the second episode was smart in that it kind of reined in the craziness and really built their relationship, and I think the strongest scenes were just the scenes where they were talking to each other.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Can I tell you what I've really liked?
Yeah,
please. So I really like that for someone who is always so, like, in control and who has spent his life surviving mm-hmm. because he's good at lying. Like, so his very survival depends on his ability to lie and, like, think on his feet.
Right.
That when he was confronted, when Deb walked in on him.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you see almost a different Dexter.
Right.
So, like, he still goes with his instinct, which is to lie about it.
Right.
So what lie can I make out of this really horrible situation? I can't lie about the fact that I didn't kill someone.
Right.
Right? So how can I switch this to make her more accepting?
Justify.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was, like, the worst lies ever. Oh, yeah. And, like, maybe you could chalk that up to, like, oh, wow, this is an out of character for Dexter and this is sloppy writing or whatever, but I see it as intentional.
Right.
And that he's, like, starting to come unglued. Like, he can't so easily lie to Deb.
Right.
And that this is the first time he's faced with a situation that he can't easily fake his way out of.
Right.
And going along with that, I really like that it only took one more episode for Deb to find out that he's a serial killer.
Yeah.
Because I was a little worried, like, because at first I was, oh, okay, I'm glad that Deb found out. Oh, yeah. But she didn't find out that he's a serial killer. She doesn't really know all his secrets.
Right, she, yeah.
Is this going to be another annoying, like, carrot that they hold over us, like, all season long?
Right.
And then at the very end, oh, you're a serial, like, so I love that they got right down to it. I love the way she just, like, that scene that you mentioned earlier was really a chilling scene where she's sitting there and she just asks him, are you a serial killer?
Yeah.
And he says yes.
Yeah.
And I think that if you go back to season one, I believe,
yes.
when we're first learning about Dexter, he talks about how his victims are the people that know him better than anyone else, because he tells they know what he is, right?
Right.
So with everyone else in his life, he's having to maintain this really difficult, really kind of exhausting lie. And when he's with his victims, there's something, like, freeing about that, other than he gets to kill, which he likes to do, and I think part of that is that he's not hiding who he is, and he's able to just be totally honest.
Right.
And I feel like you could almost kind of sense that relief when she says, are you a serial killer? And he just says, yes. Like, he doesn't even think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so this could also be, like, healing for Dexter in a way. I mean, it's so weird, and, like, it's really hard to think about, like, oh, realistically, how would these characters act? Because this is such an unreal situation. Like, if you were Deb...
Yeah.
And you're a police officer in Homicide, and you, your brother is, like, the most important person in your life, and he also works with you, and you find out he's a serial killer, like, how do you deal with...
I think it's so crazy. That's a good point. And I think... I was watching a documentary called Exporting Raymond, and it's about the executive producer of Everybody Loves Raymond who brings Everybody Loves Raymond to Russia. And it's kind of an exploration of what makes, in this case, Everybody Loves Raymond, what makes it work, and, like, what happens if you change certain elements of, like, what really makes it work. And I think you can apply that to Dexter, because I think what made Dexter work in the beginning was it's kind of an unbelievable situation, kind of a crazy premise, but it's made you the viewer can buy it because Dexter himself is a relatable character, and because the people around him are, there isn't anything going on that makes you, at least in the first couple seasons, there isn't anything that makes you think, like, there's no way that this would happen. Like, the logic within the universe at least made sense. And I think when we got to a point as the seasons went on where, like, more and more crazy things would happen and Deb would be totally oblivious to the fact that he's a killer, then you start to feel like, I think as a viewer, you start to feel like, this, you're playing games with me, this doesn't make sense. So I think it's really smart for just the first two episodes to confront that head on, and to have Deb even kind of give some kind of meta commentary to the show, where she said, I must be the worst detective in the world that I didn't notice this before. Right. Which is something I think, like, many viewers have
complained about.
Within two episodes, they really are smart to explore, like, how would these characters react. And I think both of them react in a way that's true to both of their characters. And I can't remember who wrote this on the internet, but Deb is now, like, at a place in her life. And I think this is where you can look back at the seasons 3 through 6 and say that this is where they at least have some value, is that, like, Deb has grown from being a really... somebody who's really insecure with herself to somebody who's a lieutenant in the police department, professionally competent and, like, strong on herself. But, like, she's at a point in her life where she's not really afraid of Dexter necessarily. But she loves him and she wants to help him. And I think she's afraid of him. Well, she, you know, her initial reaction was to be afraid, and I think on a level she's still afraid, but also has enough self-confidence to not react to Dexter and be afraid of him, but just to be angry at him and to be like, no, you can't do this. I'm gonna fix you because you're my brother, damn it. You know.
A lot to think about. Yeah. So in the first two episodes, we find out, this happens at the end of last season.
Yeah.
Deb finds out that Dexter's killed a victim. Killed a suspect.
Right.
Deb finds out that Dexter is, in fact, a serial killer. Deb finds out that Dexter is, in fact, the Bay Harbor Butcher. The other thing that's happening is that Dexter, in his rush to get rid of the body, to dump the body, or he gets rid of the body...
Wait, does she know that he's the Bay Harbor Butcher now? For sure? She found the blood slides, but I don't think she's going to put that.
I think she's going to put that.
Like, Huerta is hot on that case.
Yeah, I don't remember if she knows now. I don't remember if she actually said it.
I don't think so, but
I think in coming season, I don't know, I think she's heading that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he drops the blood slide, right?
Yeah, right.
And LaGuardia finds it, and because you remember she was in love with Dokes?
Yeah, yeah, I know, right?
Season
two.
And so she's gonna put that together, because she never believed that it was Dokes, ever.
Right.
And Dexter's the one who, like, helped us prove that it was Dokes, because he was there, right? Kind of when it happened. I mean,
and
he obviously
proved
him. But also, like, also we have Dexter screwed up. He killed that guy at the airport. The guy had a bracelet on him that is a detection device. So there's a lot of, like, things happening.
Yeah.
A lot to look forward to. Also, this guy who's Dexter's enemy that... So I feel like we have... Everything's kind of closing in on Dexter, because Deb knows, but LaGuardia's kind of on the trail.
But also now Deb is an accomplice to killing Travis.
Yeah, so what is that, like...
So that kind of F's her up, too. Like, she said, like, I'm in this now, too, Dexter.
Yeah.
You know? And she's right. Mm-hmm. She is. Hey, I'm Jaylana.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff.
Yeah, so...
So...
Maybe you're not... Maybe sometimes shows can reinvent themselves.
Yeah.
In a good way.
But can serial killers?
We'll find out
this season on Dexter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like this was really kind of all over the place. We had a lot to say.
We did. I'm glad that we talked through this.
Yeah. Did we talk through it, or did we just talk?
I think I talked through it.
Okay, good.
Next time on Blogulator Radio, when the two of us are together in a couple of weeks.
So not next time, but in the future.
In the future.
Coming up, I think we'll
tackle Parenthood
and
its return.
Hashtag Lauren Graham.
Let me just tease it by saying that I think this has been the strongest season yet. But, We'll talk about it then.
Yeah. Asperger's,
I know.
Racial stuff, kind of.
A lizard named Guacamole. Student council, man. That's hard.
Yeah. What else?
Did you hear that Louis is not coming back until spring of 2014?
Why?
Because Louis wants to relax a little bit.
Well, good for him. He deserves to relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Good for him.
And did you... Whoa, what a catch by number 52, Yoenis Cespedes for the Oakland A's. Suck it, Prince Fielder. Baseball. Hashtag baseball talk.
So, this season on Dexter, stay tuned. We'll check in
once
in a while.
We'll talk more about it.
We'll talk more. If you are also a Dexter fan or a Dexter foe, like getting back on board or... getting on board for the first time.
Right.
Tweet at us.
Yes.
You can find us on Twitter.
Yes.
At
Blogulator Radio. One other future episode that will tie into something else that I want to talk about is we'll be talking about the Vampire Diaries again this season of Vampire Diaries as it goes on, probably every 5 or 6 episodes. We'll be having Kerry Reisler from the AV Club.
Yay.
Join us, and Chris Castro, our friend, of course, also from the Blogulator, so the four of us can talk about the Vampire Diaries and all the craziness going on there.
Also coming
And you can also catch up on the first 3 seasons of Vampire Diaries on Netflix, which is our sponsor, of course. You can go to bit.ly/blogflix. And subscribe for 2 weeks for free. And after that, it's only $8 a month. And, of course, when you subscribe that way, you're also supporting independent netcasting like our show and the other shows on our network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can we get Dexter on Netflix?
You know what? I think at least for a while it was on streaming. I don't know. I can't confirm or deny whether it's on streaming or not.
Try it out.
But you can always go the disc route if you're my parents, and that's fine too.
That's fine.
You know what? And you can do both.
Also coming up, premiering next week, October 17th, season 2 of Spooky Spook Spook, American Horror Story.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, okay, don't do that, because didn't we just talk about how, like, you didn't like it when I was cynical and making fun of it, and so I don't like it when you do it for my stories.
Okay.
Just take it for what it is and don't stop being a snob.
I'm not a snob. I just like things that say that they're going to be scary to actually be scary.
It was you didn't find it scary?
No.
How many more ghosts do you need to make it scary?
That's the problem. Too many ghosts. There were a handful of good moments in a mostly shit sandwich season of...
That's your opinion.
It is my opinion. I agree.
I was scared, so screw you.
Well, your opinion is valid, too.
Yeah. My opinion is the most valid.
Sure.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Hope you're enjoying this newest season of Dexter. Or as we call it, Dexty Dex Dext.
Who's got the Dext? Dexter 2, Electric Boogaloo.
No, we just call it Dexter.
Yeah.
Thanks for
listening. Peace out, y'all.
Yeah. Our opinions
are
valid. Good night.
Night.